expected to strengthen into a hurricane late today or early tomorrow. The storm is located in the central Atlantic and has maximum sustained winds of 60 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center said Ophelia is getting better organized and is expected to become a hurricane tomorrow when it turns north. Ophelia would be the 10th consecutive storm to gain hurricane strength this year, and it would tie a record set in the late 1880s. This is USA Radio News.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
A second early exit from baseball's playoffs in as many seasons has led to a manager's termination. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
After 5 years, John Farrell is no longer the manager of the Boston Red Sox. The president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, making the announcement on Wednesday morning. Farrell had led the Red Sox to a 93-69 record in 2017, the third best record in the American League, fifth best in the majors. But Boston was eliminated from postseason play earlier this week by the Houston Astros, and it was the second consecutive year the Sox lost in the first round of the playoffs. I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he's willing to negotiate DACA terms in exchange for tougher border security and cuts to legal immigration. Many DACA recipients are wary to take the bait, and one says accepting the deal could cost people their families.
To secure our future, to have something that benefits us in the long run, means throwing them under the bus.
Belen Sisa is the co-founder of Undocumented Students for Education Equity. She says she feels DACA recipients are being held hostage by the president's demands, and she says the deal is just not good enough. CISA supports the DREAM Act written by Senators Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin. It would include those who are currently aged out of DACA and provide a pass for citizenship. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400, and where they share with you their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top.
I'm John Resnick, and as always, I'm glad you're with us today. Folks, as you meet today's guest, it won't take long to realize that a major factor in Dr. Stanley Pearl's tremendous story of success comes from the attitude he possessed when facing challenges during his lifetime. When others were whining, Dr. Stanley Pearl was shining, and he never, ever let his challenges become his setbacks. And it always reminds us that attitude is very powerful, both positive and negative. So let's meet the man whose positive attitude was the fuel that built Pearl Vision Centers in America today, a household name. Let's welcome Dr. Stanley Pearl. Dr. Pearl, welcome to Legends of Success.
Thank you very much.
How are you spending your days? I'm just curious. These days you're into retirement, but I have a feeling you're not slowing down, are you?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing about life is to enjoy every phase of your life now. I'm enjoying the phase of being a senior and being semi-retired. It's really nice. You don't have to rush around like I've done all my life. So I'm enjoying this phase of my life. Even though I'm still a little bit active with the company, I still have plenty of time to relax and enjoy what I like to do.
Well, we're so glad you had time to be with us. I know you've been very busy with some philanthropical activities, et cetera, but I wanted to just ask for a moment. Most everybody in America recognizes the name Pearl Vision Centers, okay? But give us a snapshot just how big Pearl Vision is today.
Well, we're approaching 700 or 800 stores now, and the company that owns us now is intrigued with the Pearl Vision system, and they're taking it all over the world. So it's quite interesting, but we're up to 700 or 800 stores in the United States, and we're actually in quite a few foreign countries in Canada. Not that that's I guess it is a foreign country, but we're in Europe and Holland, and they're taking it all over the world. So I'm very pleased and happy about that.
When you think how big this is, and you went back to the beginning, did you ever dream when you have your first location that would ever be this big?
No way. No way at all. It was just almost mind-boggling to me, and it's very satisfying in a way, but I never dreamed we could able to get this big.
Oh, I can imagine. We hear that from time to time. Well, you know, Dr. Pearl, you've become an American icon. People know who you are. They see they've seen your face in the commercials for over the years. But, you know, as I always share with our listeners, people don't start at the top, or most didn't really inherit it. You started out with very humble beginnings, from my understanding. And could you do a favor and go back to the beginning in Pittsburgh, where it all began?
Well, it was described as a humble beginning. It was very nice. I have a twin brother. We were fraternal twins, not identical. But we were born at a very difficult time in 1918, which is the beginning of the end of World War One, and it was a terrible time. There was a terrible flu epidemic in those years. A very difficult time, and that's when we were born in 1918. Unfortunately, my mother and father separated when we were born. I had an older brother, and he was about 4 or 5 years old. But my mother and father separated, but it didn't bother us too much because my mother was able to move in with our grandmother and two bachelor uncles. So they sort of served as surrogate fathers for Merle and I as we grew up. So we didn't miss everything. We had a good time being as young people and being born and that sort of thing. So we were very fortunate in that sense, even though we lived in very modest means.
Well, I also find it quite interesting that, you know, we share all the setbacks and challenges and how people overcome them in their life. But my Lord, you were born in to, so some people would refer to as a setback because your father actually deserted the family before you were even born. It's why your mother was pregnant.
That's correct.
But you never let that bother you, did it?
No, I didn't. And we didn't know him at all. But like I said earlier, we had two uncles who were like surrogate fathers to us. So we didn't miss it at all. It wasn't a problem, which normally it could be.
Sure. And this is growing up in Pittsburgh. I understand, just on the sideline a little bit, the one uncle was a pretty tough cop, and the other one was holding gambling and card games in the back room.
That's right. They were interesting guys.
Well, it was interesting times back then from what we read about, you know. Growing up, were you entrepreneurial? What was your spirit like?
Well, I was always a risk taker. As I say, when I graduated high school and I was active in the Boy Scouts system, which was very important to me. And our scoutmaster was a scoutmaster, and it was 1936 when I graduated high school, and he gave me a job working for his company, was in the wholesale jewelry business, for $12 a week. I was lucky to get it in those days. That was a difficult time, and there was a deep depression. So I was very fortunate, but I was able to get that. But the first risk that I took in those days was he wanted me to stay with the company. I was doing well as a salesman and a learning salesman. Mm-hmm. And when I told him I wanted to go to optometry school, he said, "No, we want you to stay in our business. We like you." And he offered me, in those days, $25 a week, which was a lot of money back in 1936. But I thought about it one night, and I decided to go to optometry school anyway. So the point that I'm making is that I was ambitious, but I was willing to take risks and chances. So that started in my life and went on from there to other things later on.
I think it's amazing. You already had the perception. A lot of people may have been satisfied that, hey, $25 a week, especially during depression back then. I mean, that was a tremendous risk when you size it up and put it in proper perspective.
It's true. It was so difficult in those days. People hardly remembered there were professional men that didn't have jobs. They were standing on corners selling apples for a nickel. It was really a difficult time and very hard to get work. And people don't realize how bad depression can be. Can be, and I hope we never see those days again, but it was pretty bad.
I can imagine. You know, everybody living in this little house with your grandmother, your grandmother was supposed to be, I think you describe in this book, and by the way, folks, there's a book out on Dr. Stanley Pearl's life story called A Man of Vision. Just an incredible read. It's a really nice, wholesome read. You describe that your grandmother, your mother, your two brothers, your two uncles, all living in this skinny little house.
That's right.
Your mother instill a lot of positive values in you? You must have had a great foundation because you certainly had no money to help you.
I think so. She was very helpful. My grandmother was. And my uncles were very important to me. That, as I said, one was sort of a tough guy and the other guy was sweet. And it's true. Well, one uncle had... He had a store, and on weekends at his friends played poker in the back at the end of his store over the weekends. It was kind of interesting. So we had a very interesting background.
Oh, absolutely, folks! If you're just tuning in, Dr. Stanley Pearl, really an American icon in the optometry business, the retail glasses, the Pearl Vision Centers, really a tremendous story in American business history. When we get back, we're going to talk about how he made that decision to go to the Northern Illinois College of Optometry, and really not only how it changed his life, but it changed the lives of millions of Americans. We'll be back right after this.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You don't have to be small and be more.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
Well, here we are again, and I gotta tell you, Jim, this match has me really concerned.
Here we have a powerful heavyweight, a train, weighing in at 6,000 tons. And this hasty lightweight challenger, a car, at just 1.5 tons.
This does not bode well for the car, or the people in it.
It's no contest. Every day, people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
Thank you.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're so proud to have Dr. Stanley Pearl, the founder of Pearl Vision Centers, with us today. Well, Dr. Pearl, we talked a little bit in the last segment. You had some pretty humble beginnings, but you had some guts. You had some tenacity growing up. You never look at anything as a real setback. It was only a challenge to overcome. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And so you decided at 19 you're going off to optometry school. Tell us about it. Where'd you go, and how tough was it?
Well, I gave up. I had a good job with my scoutmaster in the jewelry business. They wanted me to stay with them and grow with that company, but I took a chance after meeting some optometrists that I got to know in those days in various jewelry stores where a lot of optometrists practiced in those days. Decided to go to optometry school. And there were two schools that I was choosing from, one in Chicago and one in Philadelphia, and I was living in Pittsburgh. And I chose to go to the one in Chicago, and it didn't take a lot of risk. The reason why I just chose that is because it was a four-year program, and I could go all year round and finish in 3 years. And that was important to me because it was very difficult to manage the tuition. So I chose Chicago, and that's where I went.
Well, I assume back then you didn't get a lot of funding from your family. How'd you pay yourself through college?
Well, it wasn't easy. It's amazing what you do in those days. I got a job as a night clerk, working from 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. I was able to do my studying at night, and occasionally sometimes catch a little sleep. But then I would go to school in the morning from classes started at 8 till 1, I believe it was. Then I'd get back and sleep a little bit and then start working in the evening. But it was difficult to get a job in those days. They used to get $60 a month and a room in the hotel where I worked. It was a tough time, but we were able to do it.
Well, it's amazing what you can do when you're faced with those kinds of odds and that kind of situation. Am I correct?
That's right.
It's amazing. I don't think people realize what they can do. And it's funny, in business sometimes, when people are faced with the greatest crisis is when they find the greatest success, but they never knew they had it in them until they were faced with that crisis. Am I on target here, Doc?
That's exactly right, John.
Well, and now, so here you are. You graduate, and I believe somehow you ended up in Texas. How do you end up in Texas from going
That was another risk I took. There was a three-day exam in Philadelphia, and here, as most people are when they get out of school, they're broke. And then they told me I had to wait 60 days before they tell me whether I could pass or not. And 60 days is like an eternity. So a friend of mine said, let's go down to Texas. And my family thought I was crazy when I decided to do that. But I decided to go to Texas, and they had a three-day exam there. They told you the next day whether you passed or not. So that's how I ended up in Texas, which was a great thing in my life. But I did take the risk and do that.
I see. Well, it wasn't long before the war comes along. Am I correct? You got drafted. You got pulled into there too.
Well, that's right. Well, we got married shortly after I went to Texas, and I was drafted a little later on. I was in the Navy for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, you married a young lady named Elsie. Now, there is a quote in your book, and again, a lot of people think sometimes I'm getting a little flowery, but you know, folks, when it comes to business, you've got to look at your whole total life that makes a person a success. There's a quote in your book that you say, there wasn't any move that I ever made without knowing her opinion, meaning your wife, Elsie. Was she that important to you in business?
She was extremely important, but mainly I was so fortunate to be able to have a wife that I had. She was a great lady. We were married for 57 years, and there wasn't anything in my life that I did without her participating in. So it was one of the great fortunate things that ever happened in my life of meeting a wonderful lady. We went to high school together. We didn't date in those days, but I knew her. But I was a very lucky person to have such a wonderful wife.
You know what else you're pretty lucky with? I've got to give you a compliment here. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you today, Dr. Paul?
I'm 88 years old and still kicking.
You're still kicking. Your recall is better than me. And I'm 50. So, what do you take? A lot of wheat germ, vitamin E? What do you do for your health?
Well, I try to use good health foods and things like that. But mainly I have a trainer that comes three times a week and keep me going on exercise. That's the main thing. And you have good fortune too. That helps a lot too.
Yeah, good genes don't hurt either, do they?
That's right.
Well, say 1945, Doc, age 27. You're out of the Navy. You go back, and you loaded up the family, didn't you?
That's right. We decided instead of practicing in Pennsylvania, which is what I thought we would do, we took the great leap to the great state of Texas, which was a wonderful thing, and a brother-in-law bought a car in those days. I think it was I've forgotten what it was, for $200. It was a good car, and we got it, and off we went to the great state of Texas.
Well, that took some guts too. After you got there, you received a job, and you start working, but you start getting a call from an old friend of yours. I believe you're already working as an optometrist at a jewelry store location, was it?
That's right. My first job was in San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. I took over a practice of a doctor that died. His wife hired me, and then I moved up to, got a better job in Dallas, and that's where I moved. And there was a friend of mine starting a company called Lee Optical, and he wanted me to join him, but I didn't feel as though I would do that. But I was very successful in practicing in Corpus Christi, doing very well, and he kept after me and wanted me to join that company, which I did in 1948. And I stayed with them for 10 years and then left and then started the Pearl Company after that.
Now, during that time, he just didn't call you once. From what I understand, he really laid a lot of calls over a period of time. He did not give up, did he?
That's right. He did that over a number of years. And finally, I did decide to join him. I think it was in 1948. And stayed with them while they grew, and I learned a lot about how to operate optical stores, and particularly in the South Texas, that's where my responsibility was. So I learned a lot during that time, but I found out that we had a disagreement as years went by on marketing, and so I decided to leave the company, which I did in the latter part of the 50s.
But when you went into business with him, Dr. Pearl, you were saying that you opened up, you're a 50% partner, it felt good to be on your own. But as time went on, you didn't share the same value system, and you learned a very valuable lesson when it came to breaking up with that person. Do you recall what you put in the book?
Yes.
And it was?
Well, he He didn't believe in understand marketing, and he felt that price was the only thing people were looking for, and he didn't realize that the customers were looking for more than just price and value. They were looking for quality product and service, and people were getting more cognizant of that factor, and he missed that, and we argued about it, and finally I decided to leave that organization, and that's what I did.
Absolutely, and I believe you also said in the book that another lesson you had learned is that make sure you get your agreements in writing up front in the beginning when you do business with people, because it took you, over a year just to negotiate back out of that deal.
That's exactly right. It was a verbal agreement, and those are bad. If you're going to have agreement, it's always a very good idea to put it in writing, because this agreement's always come up in most cases.
Well, you can come back to haunt you. You know, a lot of the things that we advise to family-owned and privately held businesses, even if it's a family, get yourself a buy and sell agreement if there's more than one partner or shareholder. You hope you're never going to break up, but look at the percentages of business that do split. Get yourself a great buy-sell agreement and get all that ironed out in the beginning, because later it's just going to be a pain to try to iron it out after you become successful. When we get back, Dr. Pro, I'd like you to think. There was a business in Texas by the name of Texas State Optical. And we get back and want to find out what separated that business and what made them so great that you admired them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting with Dr. Stanley Pearl, his book, A Man of Vision. He's the founder of Pearl Vision Centers. What an American icon business this is. You're listening to Legends of Success.
And now some legendary advice from the Legends of Success. American winemaster Michael Mondavi learned from his grandmother how to make good wine. He learned from Fresco Baldi, family winemakers for 31 generations and over 700 years, how to make a family business survive.
The key that he gave me was so beautiful and so simple. Teach the young people of the future generations, well, their children, to handle conflict resolution amongst themselves. And if they can have conflict resolution amongst themselves while the older generation is still alive, then there's a very good chance they can do it when the older generation is gone. But if you, as the senior generation, as the father, the grandfather, always make the critical decisions and decide between Billy and Johnny or any sibling rivalry, if you decide it, there's no way they will be able to have conflict resolution when the senior generation's gone.
Learn more about the Legends at legendsofsuccess.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. California fire officials are confirming more deaths from the wildfires racing across the state.
We updated the count of fatalities associated with these fires. It's now at 21.
At a news conference today, Cal Fire Director Ken Pimlott said the wildfires racing across the state will continue for days.
We have returned today to red flag conditions, very dry humidities, 8% in many locations, and winds that are surfacing out of the north, in some places 40 miles an hour.
Pimlott said 22 major fires have burned more than 170,000 acres in 8 California counties. Thousands of people have been evacuated. He said the rapidly moving fires are fueled of winds of up to 40 miles per hour with a critically dry fuel bed. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm heading out for vacation in a few weeks, and you know, I'm really excited to have some time off, some extra good sleep, but then I get extra good sleep because of my pillow. So if you're craving that vacation kind of sleep, you know, you can get it at home anytime with a MyPillow. Now, one of the nicest things about the MyPillow, it stays cool all night long. You don't have to flip the silly thing over to the cooler side. It's always cool, and it keeps its shape all night long, so you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to fluff the pillow up, make it nice. Just order a MyPillow with promo code USA. You're going to get 50% off a 4-pack of pillows. That's 2 MyPillow premium pillows, custom fit for you, and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Again, use promo code USA to get 50% off. These pillows come with an amazing 60-day money-back guarantee, a 10-year warranty, 100% machine washable and dryable, and made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, scroll to the Radio 4-Pack Special, enter promo code USA, or call 800-951-8175. 800-951-8175. Promo code USA.
Hi, this is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, and we're just having a wonderful visit with, they call him a man of vision. That's the name of his book, Dr. Stanley Pearl, of Pearl Vision Centers, the founder. And he really, throughout this lesson, throughout this book, whether you're in business or not, it's a great book of lessons in life. The man is a real mensch. Dr. Pearl, one thing I admire about you, here we are, you are Pearl Vision Centers, that's your business, but you admire in this book, there was a business by the name of Texas State Optical that you just continued throughout the book to admire and talk about what they did right. Tell me about them, and why did you admire them so much?
Well, they were a local company that was fantastic. To give you how good they were, in the city of Houston, they had a 50% share of business. That's almost unheard of. Every other pair of glasses in Houston came from their organization. In Dallas, they had about a 40%. They were a great company. And the reason why they were good, they concentrated not only on value and good prices. That was only part of it. But they believed in delivering what they promised in quality product and service. They were a great company, and they did a marvelous job. And I watched them very carefully. And one reason why I left the company I was with, I talked to my boss about that, or my partner, I should say. Mm-hmm. And he said to me one day when I was talking to him, he said, "They're not our competition." I almost fell over. Here's a company with 40 or 50% share of their market, and he said, "That's not our competition." That's when I decided to leave that company. But they were a great company, Texas State Optical. They only concentrated on Texas only. They went to a couple of the border states, but they weren't interested in expanding beyond that. So I tried to copy them and did copy them in many ways that they did business.
Well, I commend you for saying that. You know, it's not often you hear about somebody extolling the virtues of their competitors. So I felt it was only fair to early this morning, I scrambled to locate the CEO of Texas State Optical, and I wanted to find out what he thought of you. His name is John Marvin. John, are you with us today?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Say hello to Dr. Pearl. Dr. Pearl, this is John Marvin, the CEO of Texas State Optical.
Isn't that right? Isn't that nice to talk with you?
Well, it's very nice to visit with you, Dr. Pearl. And first of all, I do want to also congratulate you on receiving this year's Lifetime Achievement Award from the Texas Optometric Association.
That was very nice.
Well, you certainly, it was well-deserved. And I had an opportunity after John Resnick called me this morning to get a hold of your book and read. And thank you very much for the compliments that you gave the organization in that book.
Dr. Pearl, we've got to give I've got to give John a fair shot. You just talked about the virtues, the extol the virtues of Texas State Optical. John, what was so good about the challenge and the competition coming from Dr. Pearl's operation?
Well, I think that one of the things the organization was challenged with at that time was because we were both trying to work in a retail environment that had a tendency to ignore the doctor. And Dr. Pearl's response to that was to recognize the importance of that doctor-patient relationship and how it wasn't all about just selling a product at a cheap price. It was really about a service and quality products. And probably helped to make our organization better and stronger and still going strong today.
Well, I just wanted to this was a story of Dr. Pearl's life, and I just thought I wanted to surprise him and also thank you so much. I want to get you guys together for a second and do a little surprise for the doc here.
That was a nice, pleasant surprise.
Well, I'm flattered to be a part of it, and congratulations, Dr. Pearl. You've set a great example for our profession.
Thank you.
And, John, I thank you for joining us today. We'll probably contact you in the future to find out more about TSO, your organization. Okay, my friend?
Thank you, John.
Thanks for being with us, John. Hope that didn't surprise you too much, Doc.
No, not at all. That was pleasant.
Well, I figured
I knew the ones that started that company were four brothers out of Beaumont, Texas, a great team.
Yeah, they were supposed to have some very strong shared values and principles. But I admire you for... So actually, folks, it's another great lesson in business. You've got to borrow from others who are doing things further down the road from you and always gain your knowledge and wisdom from those who have already conquered what you aspire to. Am I right,
Absolutely.
Doc? That's big. And so as you looked, as you built your business, you know, you built from one location to other locations when you were with Lee Optical. What were the greatest lessons that you learned that Lee Optical wasn't doing that inspired you to take a break?
Well, the main thing that I learned was you have to believe that the consumer, you listen to the consumer and don't take them for granted, and you better believe them. And I used to have a sign in my office that says the public is smarter than you think, and it's true. Listen to the consumer; they know what they want, and listen to what they tell you, and be sure that you deliver to them what you say you're going to deliver. That's extremely important.
Your word is your bond, and once you make a promise, if you don't live up to it, you've just lost all credibility.
That's true.
Absolutely right. So this must have been a tough break, but, you know, with every perceived setback is really a great opportunity for better growth, and that's really what happened to you here, isn't it?
It certainly was in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, folks, I wanted to ask you one other question. How long did it take you to get your first location totally on your own, Dr. Pearl?
Well, I left the Lee Optical in the late 50s, and then, as part of my departure, I received some stores that were profitable and was able to continue, and then I decided to open up the first Pearl in the state of Georgia, in the beautiful city of Savannah, and I chose that state because it was a little less competitive than some other states, and that's where we started.
I believe also that the regulations from the state government were far laxed or far less than other states, and it was a much better climate to do business in at that time.
That's quite true. There was always a problem between the independent optometrists formed a very strong organization. That organization used to try to keep companies from ours from expanding, and it was always a big problem. It's a lesser problem today than lesser than it used to be, but it was a big problem through the years of going to legislators and fighting restrictions on advertising and a lot of things like that. So it was a big problem, but today it's much less. As a matter of fact, you heard man mention that I was given a honor from the Optometric Association that we used to fight. They made me an honorary member. So it's quite different today.
Well, absolutely. When we get back, we're going to find out from that one location how you went on to lead the buildup of Pearle Vision Centers, the just an outstanding chain. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Stanley Pearle's our guest on Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
From startup and survival to success and significance, you'll hear how they did it. Legends of Success.
We're back on Legends of Success. What an honor it is to visit today with Dr. Stanley Pearl, a man that started out with absolutely, in the beginning, humble beginnings, five or six or seven of them living in the grandmother's house in a tiny little house in Pittsburgh, and built up a household name, Pearl Vision Centers. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Pearl, did you ever run across a guy in your industry by the name of Dr. Robert Morrison?
I've heard of him, yes.
Okay.
I think I had occasion to meet him once or twice, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I grew up next door to him for many years. I wondered why. I knew he had a fairly nice reputation in the industry.
He was a fine man. He did some wonderful things in his life.
Well, that's great. I'll be having to send him a copy of the show. I wanted to ask you, you started with your one location. Now, when you left Lee Optical, did you walk away, I hate to get too personal, but did you walk away then with a lot of money, or was it a struggle?
Not a lot, but I was able to get some stores, some optical apartments in certain states. They weren't pearls, of course, but they were enough to generate some income, and I got some cash and enough to keep going and get started. So that's what happened, and then we decided to open up the first Pearl in 1961, in Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you did, that's almost like starting a whole new career all over again. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so now you have a wife, and at this time, there were four kids at this time. Four kids, right?
That's right.
So this must be, and again, for folks, especially family members who aren't active in the business, I'm going to ask Dr. Pearl. You've got to make some sacrifices, and you have to have a pretty understanding family.
That's correct.
Am I on target with this?
You're absolutely right. The family was very cooperative. All the children weren't born in those days, but the older ones were. You're right. It did involve a family decision.
And how much of a risk in the beginning? I mean, did you put up all the money you had to open up the centers at first?
Yes, I did. We did that, and we had great success. The store just exploded, so to speak, beyond our imagination. And we grew. We began opening up other stores in the state of Georgia, and it grew so fast. It was unbelievable, and I attracted some very good people to help me, and as you must do, and that really started us going.
We're visiting with Dr. Stanley Pearl of Pearl Vision Centers on Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America.
Money causes stress and uneasiness in our closest relationships, according to Bank of America's new Friends Again report. In fact, more than 50% of the population has seen a friendship end over money, and it is not always a lot of money that will cause a relationship rift. Nearly 40% of consumers say they would end a friendship over $100 or less. But there are ways we can salvage a relationship before it goes south over an IOU. Dr. Melanie Ross Mills, relationship expert.
Talking about money doesn't always have to be awkward. If you follow some simple tips, having an honest conversation is the best way to avoid these issues. Coordinate shared expenses in advance to avoid unexpected spending. Communicate openly with your friends about money owed and use mobile apps like the Bank of America app for a simple way to send, request, and receive money from friends, no matter where they bank.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/friendsagain.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
We're back with Dr. Stanley Pearl, the founder of Pearl Vision Centers. By 1963, Doc, 2 years after you opened your first location, you had almost 50 stores at this point. My guess is you had to shift away from treating the patient to then become a business operator, correct?
That's correct.
Not a lot of people can make that transition. What do you attribute that ability to?
I don't know. I was just fortunate to be able to look ahead, and it had some good people around me to help me, and that was extremely helpful.
Was it difficult building a culture? You have a very well-known personality and a style to you, and it was, I've been told that your centers resonated the Dr. Pearl in them.
I always believed in integrity and telling the truth. I think I got that in many ways, but particularly I was helped by my activity in the Boy Scout system, and it taught me a lot about integrity and keeping your word and keeping your promise and treating people decently. And so I was trying to instill that in everything I did in business. Even with your competitors, I never lied. And there was a lot of integrity in everything we did. And I tried to make that a basis of my business career as well as my personal life.
Well, you also said in your book, and you reiterate a number of times, that every deal you made had to be win-win for all parties, or it wasn't a good deal.
Well, that's generally true. If it's a good deal, it has to benefit both parties, it ends in disaster if it doesn't.
Sooner or later, someone's going to be unhappy. Now, in 1963, you went IPO, you went public, correct?
Correct.
And in around that time, I guess you did that because you were on a momentum. Well, you tell, why would you go IPO? I don't want to give the answers out.
Well, I think the answer was that we needed more capital. We had plans to do some big things, and as long as the company was willing to let us continue doing our thing and not bother us and just be a parent company with helping us with primarily financial help, that was very helpful to me. And my children were not interested in the business. My oldest son always was interested in being a physician, which he is. So we made the move, and we used the help of parent companies to grow.
Now, it's interesting. A lot of people in business realize this, but some others may not. When you went IPO, you must have seen a financial windfall literally overnight that only you could dream of, and maybe not even dream of. Am I right?
That's correct.
What happened? I mean, how did that affect you? Is this like, you know, a dream you're living?
Well, I think what happened was we had such great success with our stores in Georgia. It just opened up ideas that we could do this all over the country. We got some big ideas in those days, and that's when we began to expand. We were different than Texas State Optical. They weren't interested in expanding. But the idea came with me and some of my good people with us that we could take this format that was working so well, that we could take it and take it all around the country, which is what we did.
And when you did this, was your expectation that no matter where somebody went to one of your locations, they always saw a familiar surrounding? They knew what to expect.
Well, we knew we had to develop a culture to make sure that we delivered what we said we were going to deliver, and that we concentrated on having quality product and service. And the important thing that was mentioned earlier is having good doctors. That was very important. So I did attract some very good doctors that helped us grow.
If you would attribute some of the bottom line reasons for business success, what would a few of them be? If you had a checklist, three or four, what are the absolute critical elements that you must have to be successful in business?
I think one of the main things is deliver what you promise and believe that the public is smarter than you think. Those are basic premises that I think you'd be wise to follow no matter what business you're in. And our slogan was great. It was brought up by one of our advertising agency, that nobody cares more for eyes than pearl. We tried to live up to that slogan, and that's the main thing. What I'm saying is you better deliver what you promise.
And, you know, the other thing you hit on, and we don't talk about too often, is never underestimate the knowledge and the brilliance of the consumer, because consumers are so bright. They are just getting brighter all the time.
They're getting smarter all the time, too.
And I'll tell you what, some of the best questions I've ever come up with for my show comes from my listeners, not from me.
That's right.
You know, you strive to give what you're trying to figure out what your buyer wants. I always try to strive to ask what my listener would ask if they could meet you personally.
That's right.
What about risk taking? How much risk would you take? Was there a certain line you wouldn't cross? I mean, would you bet the whole bank from time to time?
Well, I'm not. You know, I think I have a reasonable amount of risk taking, but not foolish. I've tried to be sensible. I've been a fairly cautious person.
Mm-hmm. When you go, Doc, from one location and you make a transition, did you go get some executive education, learn how to run a business? How did you actually pick up business acumen to do this?
Well, I never used to think much of MBAs and all that sort of thing, but I was wrong. I you know, as a small businessman, when we first started, I worked off the seat of my pants to a great degree, but I learned it. That a good MBA with a scientific background of business can be very, very helpful. And I brought into the company a wonderful man by the name of Don Phillips, who was a Harvard MBA graduate, and he was tremendous in adding a factor to the to our growth that was enormously important.
Mm. Well, it's amazing. You try to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you in other areas but share the same
vision.
Absolutely. Yeah, very important, isn't it? Did you invest a lot back into the business?
Oh, yeah, practically everything, yes.
It really was. What advice can you give as a business icon role model to other struggling business owners who are having the toughest time of their life?
Well, I think the main thing is to make sure you're on the right track and be sure you understand marketing, which is very important. Many to understand what the public is looking for, and that's very important. Another dimension that you could talk about, John, is the fact that you should you should be willing to give something back. And we've always done that, too, because when you're as fortunate as I've been, it's important to realize that you really ought to give something back to other people who haven't been so fortunate.
You're a fine gentleman. I want to thank you so much for just sharing part of your day with us today, Doc. I'm sure the listeners appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
You've been listening to Legends of Success. If you need to reach me, please visit legendsofsuccess.com. I'm John Resnick. We'll look forward to seeing you next week.
A final note on today's show. Dr. Stanley Pearl died peacefully at his home in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, July 21st, 2011, surrounded by family and friends. Dr. Stanley Pearl, the founder of Pearl Vision, was 92.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small, aren't we, boy?
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.